We'll walk around heaven all day. Amen. Amen. I'm just so thankful for this male chorus. They blessed our hearts yesterday and blessing us today. And let me say to all of Crossroad that were able to make it to the installation service for Reverend Scotty Kraft, Pastor Scotty Kraft on yesterday. A great service, great showing for Crossroad, and we're grateful that the Lord has blessed him to be at the Antioch Baptist Church in Bedford, so we're very grateful. And I think that the Lord lit a fire yesterday. Amen. Lit a fire. And so we're grateful for all that God is doing, not only here at Crossroad, but also in other places. We're just very thankful again. Thank you, Mel Kors. They sung yesterday. Amen. And we've got those that have had birthdays this week and some getting ready to have birthdays this next week. Amen. I know that Jamari has already sung happy birthday, but just again want to give a shout out to Miss Newby. I think you had a birthday, right? Who else? Amen. Amen. Bless you. And Shay got a birthday coming up tomorrow. Amen. God bless you. Any other birthdays? I mean, it's good to celebrate a birthday. If you don't get one, you're going to miss it. Reverend Ray, you got a birthday coming up. 16th. Oh, he had a birthday. Amen. Reach that mark. Amen. God bless you. God. Yours Friday. All right, Janie, we hear you. Those online, you can't give us a shout out here, but happy birthday. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Jones. 12th. All right. Amen. Birthdays are good. Amen. I'm telling you. You don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss it. Who else we got? All right. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. All the March birthdays. Amen. Again, we're grateful to God that the Lord has blessed us. We're looking at raising the standard, and we've been talking about the field that God has given you and me, which is our lives. This message I'm going to be preaching to you today is probably going to be one of the most important that I've ever delivered from this pulpit. Not because I'm delivering it, but because this is what God has given to his people. And we need to take it seriously. It's not, as we stated, it's in the Bible. It's right here. Other than salvation, other than your relationship or being saved, there are things that you need to know in this life to help you and that will bless you and others around you. Very important message. I want to invite you to the book of Proverbs. And Reverend Gibbons said, a proverb a day keeps the devil away. And we got two of them for today. And third chapter, which those of you that are reading a chapter a month, or this would be the March version of it. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your wine presses shall burst forth with new wine. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We just want to share with you giving God the first fruits. Giving God the first fruits. You may be seated. Lord, we ask that you bless now what we've studied and help us to deliver your word in such a way that people might understand it, that they might not be misled, that your truth would come forth, and that you would indeed bless your people. Let them know that you're Almighty God and that all power is in your hand. And as we look at this subject, Lord, of giving you our first fruits, we want to give you our best because you gave us your best. Bless us now as we shall go into your word. Give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit that everything would be for your glory and by your mighty power. We ask it in your name. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. As I learned in life, there are certain things that you can do that can bless you. Then there are certain things that you can do that will curse you. We all are aware that if you align yourself with the evil of this world, then you expect tragic things to happen. How many of you all done that, been there, had got the t-shirt and everything else? You realize this is not right. But then God gives you certain things in His Word that He wants you to not only know, but to practice it. Put it into practice. Apply it to your life. And when He tells us to separate yourself from the world, God is not telling you that so that you won't have fun and joy in life. He's telling you that those things are dangerous. Those things will lead you to a tragic end, and it will cause your life to be filled with grief and agony. How many of y'all have had that to happen? So turning to the Lord is something good in your life. Turning to God and practicing His ways actually draws you closer to Him, but it also causes you to be blessed in such a way that now all the things that you're doing, it begins to be productive. Now this is not, I don't want you to misread this. This is not a guarantee that you're never going to have struggles. You're never going to have trials. But I will tell you, it is the acknowledgement that whatever trial you have, God's going to be there with you. Amen. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. As a matter of fact, He makes a promise to you, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That's the promise of God. How many of y'all have had that to happen? So we know that if we practice the things of God, then we can expect God to do His part. Many of you have read this verse in Proverbs. You've looked at it and you said to yourself, yeah, I'm going to honor God with my substance, and I'm going to give to Him the first fruits of all our increase. And to the best of your knowledge, you have gone about that. You've recognized that every gift you have comes from God, and that you in turn want to love God and give Him something back. But did you not know that there's a promise tied to this verse? Matter of fact, there are two promises. Two commands and two promises that God makes in this verse, and He will not change it. You might call this a covenant. It's a covenant. And when you enter into a covenant with God, if you do your part, God is going to do His part. Amen. That first command says to honor God. Honor God. Some people say, well, I'm just going to honor Him with the words that I say. I'm going to praise Him. And that is wonderful. That is good. But Solomon is getting more specific with this thing. He says you honor Him with your substance. Honor Him with your substance. The best way we can honor God is to give Him back what He's already given to us. And when you were born, how many of you all were born loaded with gold and silver? Matter of fact, you were born with nothing. And when you leave this world, you're going to leave the same way. Even the richest people in the world, they cannot take their millions any further than the grave. You can be buried in a gold casket. I'm wondering how long that gold casket is going to stay in the ground. But my point is, if you do certain things in this life, God Almighty makes an irrevocable promise with you, I'm going to do what my word says. He documented it. He says now, if you honor me with your substance, I'm going to do something in your life. So let's look at the first two commands. What is God telling us to do? Now, I wish that someone had told me this in my early 20s. I did find it out by the time I was about 30. I found out, hey, man, if you honor God, He's going to bless you. I didn't know the rest of it. I didn't know that there was something else that God had tied to it. So what are the two commands? Honor the Lord with your what? Say it again. Substance. What has God given you? If He's given you a house, He's given you a car, He's given you different things, honor Him with your substance. Now, obviously, you need your house to live in. You need your transportation to get back and forth. But there are certain things that we look at as far as what comes into our hands that we can offer back to God. The incredible thing is that the Old Testament was built on what we call the sacrifice system. giving God back something. Why? God gave you something. So what you do in turn, you acknowledge, Lord, this is your gift. I'm going to take a portion of it and I'm going to give it back to you. The Israelites did that over and over again, but they did not know that there was a promise tied to it. Many of them did not recognize it and then got to the point where they hated the sacrifice. By the time you get to the book of Malachi, many of them are saying, oh man, I just got to go through this routine one more time. I got to kill this lamb. I got to slaughter it. Got to put on the altar. Got to burn it up. Oh, okay, that's it. They did not recognize that on the other side of that sacrificial system was God Almighty saying, if you obey me, I'm going to do certain things. I'm going to make a commitment to you that I will bless in your life. It started with Abraham. Abraham recognized that he was in a strange land among strange people, did not know anything, but he said, whatever you give me, God, I'm going to give you a portion of it back. Amen. When you honor God with your substance, the Lord looks at that and he says, I will accept it. Now they say, well, I'm not going to honor God with my substance. You're going to honor somebody. You're going to give your money to something. You're going to spend your life on something. Why not the one that blesses you? Why not the one that gives you your next breath? Why not the one that causes your heart to beat and the blood to flow through your veins? Why not give it to God? Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know that that love cannot be measured except when you look at the cross? And you look at the suffering of Jesus and what God was willing to do for you and me. Oh, how much he loves us. And he gives you anything and everything. He says, if God spared not his son, how much more will he not with him also freely give us all things? So what are the two commands? Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. That was an agricultural, what we might call environment. It was an agricultural time and era where they would raise crops, and of those crops, of the livestock and different things that they had, they would present some of it to God. It's called the first fruits because the Lord had blessed them. I learned something being a farmer 18 years and got my graduate degree in farming and my undergraduate in how to raise a garden. But I learned something on that farm that's very valuable to me. You can plant it. You can water it. But only God can make it grow. Now, how does that interpret into some of the modern culture that we're living in? You can go get a job. You can work your fingers to the bone. But only God can make you productive on that job and successful in that job. Only God can do that. And when he gives you favor, everybody say favor. When God gives you favor, when God gives you that anointing for blessing, when God looks at you, it does not matter what degree you have. It does not matter what all the understanding you have, because God will give you. Some of you right in here have been promoted to positions that people say, you'll never get there. And guess what? God puts you right in there. God wants the increase of the first fruits. Everybody understand that? I want you to get the two commands. Now, when you don't honor God, what happens? I got a good example I want to take you to in the Old Testament. There was a king that God had allowed to conquer every nation on the face of the, every known nation, every civilized community. Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army conquered them. I mean, wiped them out. Why? Because God said, I'm going to bring every nation under your control. As a matter of fact, in a couple of places, God calls him his servant. Can you imagine that? A wicked king. God says, you're my servant because you're doing what I want done. And Nebuchadnezzar controlled all of the known world in his day. He took over Judah and Israel in 587 B.C. before Christ, yeah. He took over those kingdoms, and everyone came under his command. Can you imagine how his ego got? Man, I got it. I'm the most powerful man on the planet. Yeah. God touched Daniel, said, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar's got all this control. I want you to go over there and tell him if he doesn't humble himself, I'm gonna hurt him. Put it in my language. Actually, the king had a dream that this plant, this huge tree, grew up. It was great. And all of a sudden, what they call angels at that time, they call them watchers. Watchers. So go cut down the tree, but leave the stump. And allow him to eat grass like an ox. And his hair to grow like birds' feathers. And Nebuchadnezzar scratching his head, what is this all about? And the Lord already given Daniel the secret to what it was about. Daniel came over and interpreted the dream and said, King, that person that you saw in that dream is you. And he gave him this advice. Humble yourself. Honor God. Give something to the poor. And prayerfully, it will allow your prosperity to continue. Now, pause now. This is a wicked king. When I mean wicked king, he valued no one's life. Wicked king. And God's saying to him, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to cause you to lose your mind. Well, for 1 year, he did good. He was humble. He was helping the poor. He was doing things. And it went well. But then he got one of those itches to praise himself. It's called a self-rant. Okay, this is how good I am. This is how nice I am. This is the wonderful, the adorable person that I am. And he walked in his palace and says, is not this Babylon which I have built? Is not this all of the things that I have done? And instantly, before he could conclude his speech, an angel spoke from heaven and said, your kingdom is taken from you. For 7 years, he had a 7-year sentence to insanity. 7 years, because he failed to honor God and to give God what was his. I told you this is an important message. Some of you have been able to accomplish certain things in life. You might be listening online. And you've been able to do things, you said, man, I'm one bad dude. I got all these degrees, I got all these trophies, I got all this, look at this house I'm living in. You better start saying who gave it to you. Because Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. You better understand that when you got that stuff, God said, let him have it. Amen. How many of y'all ever tried to go somewhere and get stuff, but then you had somebody to help sponsor you? Amen. Are y'all here? Amen. You had somebody to say, okay, they can have it. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. I know many of you have gone places and they ask for what they call a credit check. You cannot get it until the credit is approved. But let me tell you something. I'm not approved by the credit of this world. I'm approved by the credit of God Almighty. When the Lord stands up for you, he'll make a way out of no way. How many of y'all know that today? Now, I want to finish this sermon today. So y'all keep calm for just a little bit. And then we're going to celebrate because I haven't got to the celebration part. But I could tell you, some of you come a long way. Because you had nothing. But now look at you. Now look at the clothes you wear. They're not hand-me-downs. You went to the store and you bought them yourself. Come on, help me somebody. God is a good God. Look at somebody, tell them God is a good God. 7 years. 7 years. Everybody say 7 years. 7 years. Sometimes it takes longer because people don't get the point. But it took Nebuchadnezzar 7 years. Some of y'all are going to take 10 years, 20 years. 30 years. God got plenty of time. He can wait till you get into your head, into your thick skull. I can't do anything without the Lord. Are y'all in the building today? I'm trying to help you. I told you, and all of a sudden, this great king, who's now his hair like bird's feather, fingernails grown out like claws, eating grass like an ox, but he looks up and he says, "You are God." And instantly, his sanity came back to him. Mind came back to him. And he said, "Okay, I got it together now. Now I know how this thing works." Don't wait all your life to see how this thing works. Solomon is giving you the secret right here, right now. He said, "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase." If you honor God, he will acknowledge you. But that's not how the story ends. I got to tell you a little bit more. I want to say a little bit about our culture that we're living in. We're in a culture that does not support that. Our culture is against what I just said. It is against God. It's against the virtues of the scripture. It is against you living for God. It is against all of that. We have what I call a grab it and go culture. Men shall be lovers of what? Themselves. You can see it every day. Everybody posting little selfies of them. I mean, what are you trying to say? I mean, it's nice if you take a picture with somebody, but you got one, you got a selfie out there. They got nerve enough to spruce it up. Go to that little app on your phone, and now you can spruce it up. And man, you can make, you know, your eyebrows and everything else look. Y'all, you know what I'm talking about. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I'm going to preach this thing one day. Without natural affection. Don't you cross somebody when they're in traffic. I'm so scared that people are going to pull out a gun and shoot me because I drive aggressively. And some of y'all might see me sometime. That's Pastor! Yeah, he driving aggressively. But people are without, I've never seen such a hateful generation as this one that we're living in now. I don't have time to preach this, but I just want to tell you a little bit about it. Truce breakers. You can't make an agreement with people. You sign something, you do your part, I do my part. Truce, they'll turn right around and break it because they're not promise keepers, because they don't know the one that keeps his promise. And when you don't know God, you don't have a standard to go by. Now you just say, "Well, okay, I'll just keep it as long as I want to." But when you got a covenant with God, it gets you what I call stick-to-itiveness. And he said, "That ain't a word." "Yes, it is. I just said it." False accusers, incontinent, no self-control. No self-control. Anytime people get angry, first thing they want to do is pull out a gun. In my county, Halifax, where I was born, man got mad with his ex-girlfriend, and she had a little child in her arm, took no regard for him, and shot her in the back. No self-control. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Go to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2 through 5. You can read the rest of the story. Why do I bring that up? If you're saying, "I will not have a covenant with God," by default, you automatically have this kind of covenant. You cannot be led by the Spirit and also be led by the Spirit of this world at the same time. People say, "I'm a good person." No, you're not. Quit lying to yourself. Erase that lie from your mind. You're not a good person. You're only good when God places his hand on you. Just like a little child that tries to walk, they can't walk without somebody holding them. You're that little child. You're that one that God must hold up each day. You're that one that the Lord directs your footsteps. You're that one that when you get ready to fall, He catches you. When something begins to happen to you, God is already there to hold you up because you know the living God. So I say that if you do not honor God, if you are not in the position where you're saying, I don't agree with that, Pastor, I don't agree, it's fine. But by default, you've chosen the grab and go culture that we're living in. Now, I told you about the two commands. Let me tell you a little bit about the promises. This part we like to get to. But I warn you, do not let this become your motive of why you want to honor God. Just know that it's there. You say, why can't that be my motive? Because you're going to find out when you love God and you fall in love with Him, rewards or no reward, He's still good. How many of y'all found that to be the case? Even if He doesn't, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, even if He doesn't deliver me from the fire, He's still good. I'll stay in the fire with Him as long as He stays with me. When you understand your relationship with God, the Lord says, I'm going to bless you. But don't let that be your best. I'm going to give to God. I'm going to give God $10, and He's going to give me $1,000. Bullwinkle, rocket-toed Bullwinkle, the squirrel, that trick never works. Some young people, I said that one time, and young people say, who is Rocky and Bullwinkle? Okay, another story. Your barn shall be filled with what? Plenty. Your wine vats will overflow with new wine. That's the promise that God gives you. Now, a lot of you say, well, I don't have a barn and I don't have a wine vat. I know that. He's speaking symbolically. You don't have to have a wine vat. You don't have to have that a barn to put things in, but you do have a life. Now we're getting to the bottom line of what I'm talking about. God wants your life to be blessed, but He wants you to enter into a covenant of giving and honoring Him. He knows that no matter what happens in your life, you will give Him the praise. He knows that whatever goes on in the situation that you have from day to day, bottom line is the first thing that happens in an emergency, you're going on your knees. Good things happen, you're going to raise your hand and say, thank you, God. When God depends on you, He says, now I am going to bless you. Your barns will be filled, which means your life is going to overflow with good things. You ever seen people that no matter what, they just had a bubbling personality? Always, it's called rejoicing in God. You've seen people that they could receive a diagnosis of this and that, and it doesn't faze them, and they'll tell you, I'm going to live as long as the Lord wants me to, so why do I have to be worried? Why do I need to be afraid? If God is in control of my life, then I'm not worried about it. That's up to Him. How many of y'all met people like that? How many of you are like that? God wants you to get like that. He wants you to have the attitude, hey, this is no big thing. My God is in control. So the promises that God gives us is that He's going to reward those who are faithful to Him. And look at the example of Abraham. I'm coming to the end of my message, and I'm trying to work through this, but I want you to make sure that you understand it. The Israelites, they had a covenant relationship with God, and it was through the sacrificial system of lambs and goats and oxen and all of those things. Can you imagine coming into the service and you would have to lay something on the altar and it would be blessed, right? That was in that Old Testament. As a matter of fact, they would take some of the blood and sprinkle it on the person who brought it. Isn't that something? Which meant what was on the altar is now on you. I'm getting to the bottom line of this sermon. Don't, please hold on. Don't go. You picked the wrong time to go to sleep. Here's where it gets interesting. We have symbolically an altar in the church, but we don't put animals on it. We stand before it and we say when we present our gifts and offerings that this is to God and the Lord's going to bless it. But did you not know that because you recognize God, He's going to sprinkle something on you that will bless you? Y'all still not getting it. It doesn't have to be money. As a matter of fact, there's something that, look at somebody telling me, something money can't buy. Your joy, money can't buy. Money can buy you jokes, but it can't buy you deliverance. Help me, somebody up in here. So when you in faith come to God and say, Lord, I'm going to honor you. Whether that gift be all you have, and it might just be a couple of dollars. Some of you can afford to give more, but you're giving Him. So, Lord, this is all I got. When you honor God, the Lord says, I'm going to bless you. You still don't get it. Let me go back to the verse. Let me go back up here to the verse. If you honor God, He says, I am going to cause your barns to be filled. Your life is going to get full. You're going to have more than what you can handle. Are y'all still here? So let me just break this down. Each Sunday, I write out my little check that I want to give to Crossroad because I honor God by giving through my local church. That's what Paul said we need to do. He says on the first day of the week, set aside what God has blessed you with. Go back to your Bible. It's right in there. People say, I don't know whether all these offerings in the church is biblical. It's biblical. It's right in this book right here. But I'm not offering it to the church. I don't get my blessing from the church. I get my blessing from God. I love the church. I support the church. But I get my blessing. Look at somebody, tell them, I get my blessing from God. I wish I had time to really break this thing down. So when I do that, I don't just blindly put it in the offering. Okay, here it is. I'm just going to put it in the offering, and I'm going to offer that to the Lord. God says, you've done your part. Now watch out. I'm going to do mine. I was going to get me, Jesse, I was going to get me a pitcher of water and kind of show people what it's like. If you notice, and I'm just using figurative speech. If I had a pitcher, imagine me with a pitcher of water and I got a little cup. I'm going to pour some of the water into the cup. I'm going to offer that to God. Thank you, Lord, for the illustration. I'm going to offer that to God. What happens to what's left in the pitcher? If the cup gets blessed, what's in the pitcher automatically gets blessed. Some of y'all missed it. Let me put the signal on. Let me come back around one more time. In other words, if I give God the tenth, the 90% gets blessed. Did y'all get it? Don't just clap your hand. Oh, that was good in the past. That's a good analogy. I'm talking about what happens to your life. And I just use money as the illustration because that's what I give. But every time I give Him a prayer, every time I give Him a song, every time I give Him a thank you. As a matter of fact, next Sunday we're going to talk about the fruit of your lips. Amen. Because you use your lips for a whole lot of stuff. And a whole lot of it ain't blessing God. That's next Sunday. But what I'm trying to tell you, the covenant of the first fruit says, the Lord says, if you honor me, I don't want all of it. I gave all of it to you, but I don't want all of it back. Just give me what's mine. And if you give me what's mine, I'm going to bless the rest of it. As a matter of fact, the rest of it is going to become seed so you can sow it and get blessed. Oh, some of y'all. I wish somebody could see what I'm saying. Some of y'all getting it. Some of y'all, you're sitting back there and you're going, you know, I don't get it, Pastor. Verse is clear. What I want you to start realizing from this point on, every offering that you drop into the offering basket is not just a monetary gift. It's symbolic of your covenant relationship with God Almighty. I'd be the first one to say, does Crossroad have a problem? Yep. But anytime you say, I ain't going to give it because I don't like so-and-so in the church, you messing yourself up. you're dishonoring God. Did you not know that you can pray over problems and the Lord can solve them? Some of y'all ain't figured that out yet. Never cut yourself off by saying what you're not going to do. Never get back and draw the line. I don't believe tithing works. I'm a good example of how it works. You can start off with nothing. When me and that lady right there got married over 50 years ago, we were in a little mobile home down in North Carolina, and you had to set the couch up on blocks, on cinder block. Didn't have a bed to sleep in. Come on now. And they had an old oil stove, and at night you got to watch it because people come and steal your oil. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the Lord blessed us. When I was CEO at Tri-County, I'm looking through the files because I'm the CEO. I can look through them all too. And I ran across the applicants for the job that I was able to get. People with doctorate degrees. More experience than I could ever have in two lifetimes. And I looked at it and I started to cry. I started weeping. The reason I started crying, because I knew, God, you gave me this. I mean, people that had been in positions like that before me, I had no experience. But yet God said, it's your time. Why? I honored God. Oh, y'all, I don't have time. I wish I had time to talk about this thing. But if I started from the beginning, some of you all right in this congregation, people that got looked over, and yet God chose you because you were in the right place and because you honored God. I'm going to be the first person to tell you, I don't understand how it works, but all I know is it works. I'm telling a young person now, well, I got bills. You can always have bills. Amen. Well, I got to save for a rainy day. Who do you think controls the rain? Amen. Don't make excuses for not giving to God what He's laid on your heart. Because again, I'm going to close. I'm going to go to my seat. Whatever you give, as the old song says, He gives right back to you. And remember, he's the one that gave you the 100%. And all He asks for you to do is to honor Him, and God will keep His covenant. He's never broken His covenant yet. As a matter of fact, He says heaven and earth will pass away. If one jot or either one tittle, and those were small symbols in the Greek and the Hebrew alphabet, He said not one of them is going to fail of God's word. Believe the Lord today. This is the sermon I wanted to deliver to you. Lord, I did what you told me to do. If they don't get it, they ain't my fault. Amen. Closing points before I go to my seat. That's it. Amen. That's the closing point. 3 points before I close here. I want you to get this real quick. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because we are in a generation now that is going to be cursed. But you can be blessed if you're doing what God said. Closing, recognizing that God, through giving, is the best way to honor Him. That's the best way. Solomon acknowledged it. Second thing, God rewards those who honor Him. Simple point, but it's true. Third thing, going to my seat. Honoring God with the tenth brings favor and rewards on everything else. Everything else you own is blessed. Your car might be on bad tires, but guess what? Because you honor God, them tires are going to last you until you get a new set. Tax return getting ready to be filed, so don't go out and spend it on TV. Get you some tires. I'm just saying. Amen. Did you learn something today? It's right in the book. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. God cannot lie, and He will not be unfaithful to His word. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for Your amazing love. Thank You for how You're blessed. And Lord, I see the power of Your word at work. I'm excited about it, Lord, because I learned this. I don't know everything about it, but I learned the part. I learned my part. And Father, I know that you will do your part. Bless us as only you can do, and help us to discern the truth that it might set us free. And Lord Jesus, let us love you. Let us love you. Help us to love you because you first loved us. And if there's someone today, God, that is not saved, I pray that they would surrender their heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Thank you, Lord, for this good salvation. Save that one that needs salvation. Bring all of us closer to you in fellowship and in love. We pray in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Real quick, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. If you, the sound of my voice, you and the audience and those of you that are online, if you need Christ, today is the day. If you need to rededicate yourself, some things you said, God, I'm going to do this, but you fail. God did not fail. You can rededicate yourself. Those in here can come to the altar, but those that are online, I know that you can't come in here. So reach out to us on our website, crossroadbc.com, and we'd be more than happy to help you to grow in your faith. Amen. If there is one, the altar is open. The altar call is given.